morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, we're going to be welcoming back in the studio here with us today, John White, garden curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens and a familiar voice to longtime listeners of KTEP. You are the co-host of Sunscape Once Upon a Time with Oscar Mestis and Cheryl Gehring and Wynn Anderson.
Right.
But we're going to be talking about the Native Plant Sale, which is taking place next weekend, April 27th and 28th. But before we talk a little bit more about the plant sale, let's talk a little bit about the guest speaker you guys are going to be having next Friday, the 26th.
Okay. Well, we typically have a what we call kind of a Flora Fest speaker that's kind of like our kickoff speaker for the Native Plant Sale. And this year it will be George Miller. And George is a botanist, has written several books. He's an author, has done an iPhone app that I use a lot that has some of the wildflowers from our area on it. But he's an interesting person to talk to. He's involved with the New Mexico Native Plant Society, of which the El Paso chapter is a member, and he's active with that, and he is very involved with native plants and speaks at the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center on a pretty regular basis, and well-known, well-received speaker on native plants and especially wildflowers. So George Miller will be our speaker. It is a free lecture, and it starts at 7 o'clock, and it's in the Undergraduate Learning Center building on the campus of UTEP here, and it's in the auditorium area, which is room 116 if you're looking for room numbers.
And if you attend the talk, you might be able to get a sneak preview of the plants that are available for sale?
Right. We usually have the gates open. People can kind of wander through and see some of the plants prior to the lecture, and a little bit afterwards, it's starting to get a little bit dark. Sometimes it's a little harder to see the plants, but can come by and take a look at the plants. Also, George has, he's the author of a couple books, Landscaping with Native Plants of Texas and Landscaping with Native Plants of the Southwest. And so he's got a couple good books out on landscaping. His lecture is going to be on landscaping with native plants from the Chihuahuan Desert. So he's going to be focusing on some of the plants that do come from the Chihuahuan Desert area. And then he'll have his books available, and he'll be there to sign autographed books. So, you know, we'll have a little reception after the lecture at the museum. So
it's a good way to pick his brain, too, I guess,
right,
if you have any questions,
right,
about native plants.
There'll be some, you know, people there that'll also you can tap for information. So yeah.
Well, then after the guest speaker on Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th, from 9 to 4, it's the Native Plant Sale. And we want to point out that proceeds from the sale do benefit the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens there at the Centennial Museum. And the plants are going to be outside of the UTEP Undergraduate Learning Center, which is just adjacent to the Centennial Museum. So if you know where one is, you'll definitely find the other. So we were talking last week about a few of the trees that you guys are going to be having available at the Native Plant Sale. And a question that we get pretty frequently when we do our live shows is what trees will grow well in the region. And I think most of the questions are sort of geared towards shade trees. Are you going to have any trees that would work under that category?
Yeah. And sometimes the questions we get, and I'm sure Denise mm-hmm. gets them too, is, you know, people want shade trees, but then they want stuff to grow under them.
And
sometimes the two don't mix well. And so, you know, trees, we had talked about mesquites and desert willows and things like that. And they do cast a filtered shade, which gives you a little bit of protection from the hot sun, but it also allows enough sunlight through that you can grow things underneath the trees. And our hot sun, sometimes the plants actually do better with a little bit of filtered light versus the hot desert sun beating down on them. So sometimes they do like that little bit of light shade. So some ways it's good to have a little bit of filtered shade. But if you're looking for a heavier shade type tree, there are several oaks that are native to the Chihuahuan Desert, and we will have some of those with us. But the oak trees are valuable to your landscape. They're long-lived. Strong wood, you know, much heavier wood, willows and cottonwoods and poplars like that that, you know, require higher amounts of water are also more brittle. Their wood is not as hard. It's a little softer wood and breaks more easily. They're a little bit more susceptible to diseases and insect entry, and then the high water use. And, you know, the forecast is for, you know, our region to be hot and dry, and I don't know when that is going to break, if it's going to break for a while. But we've been in a prolonged drought. We can see a lot of our large landscape trees in El Paso beginning to die back, die off. And a lot of that, I think, is the effects of the long-term drought now affecting yard trees, because people just cannot put the amount of water on them that a tree needs, and the rainfall used to help supplement that. Right. And now you're on your own, and you're not doing a good job. So they're starting to die off. So we do have, you know, several nice trees that can be used there. There's some oaks, again, that oaks are kind of underutilized here in El Paso. You will find some of the older residences. You'll mm-hmm. find nice big old live oaks. Downtown has a lot of live oaks. There's a whole story as to why those aren't bigger, but we'll spend a day on that some other time. But oaks well taken care of, you know, given good root space and stuff, they'll grow to be very, very large trees and very nice and give heavy shade. So they're good shade trees. Ash trees that people use a lot, there are some native ashes, but ashes are riparian trees, so they require higher amounts of water. So when people put, you know, like Arizona ash in a xeriscape, it's actually a tree that needs more water. It might make it for a little while it's young, but as it gets older, its demand for water is higher. And a xeriscape, typically with the lower water use plants that are in the xeriscape, don't provide enough water for that ash tree, and then it begins to die back, or borers move in or something like that. So,
right.
Again, you got to know your plant material.
I want to know how you're going to group them together in your landscape, because I think while native plants are generally low water use plants, I think there's other benefits of incorporating native plants into your landscape. I think they are just naturally more pest resistant because they're able to adapt to the climate doesn't really lend itself to certain plants, diseases out there as well. And I think also one of the best things about native plants is the attraction of wildlife to that, whether that's in butterflies or hummingbirds.
Right. You know, a lot of people kind of plod on with their life and drive the interstate, you know, and they don't really stop to look at what is happening around them. And,
not that we encourage you to stop on the freeway.
Right.
Look
but,
at the pretty plant.
Maybe not stop and smell the roses, but stop and smell the creosote.
There you go. Right.
But there is a lot of things going on out in the desert, and there's a whole insect community out there in the desert, beneficial pollinating insects. Right. That those plants need to help pollinate, plus gives a food source for the insects, and the insects help to feed the birds, and, you know, the whole balance of nature there going on. And so a lot of these native plants do help to give a food source for those specific insects that are native to our region. And we're not talking about necessarily the honeybees. Honeybees have been brought in, but we have a lot of native bees and flies and wasps that help pollinate our flowers. And so, you know, a lot of people see the showy things like the butterflies and, you know, some of the moths and wasps, colorful wasps. But they're all there to help pollinate plants and also get a food source or energy source for themselves.
So don't freak out if you see a few wasps around plants.
We have people walk through our garden, and we've got all these wasps and bees buzzing around, and they're, you know, freaking out. And I tell them, just leave them alone.
They're not interested in you.
That's right.
No, they're there to get some nectar from these flowers, and they're not interested in you. So they do serve a purpose of, you know, having your little wildlife habitat ecosystem in your own yard. And you bring those native plants in, and those native pollinators come in, then pretty soon some of the birds that feed on those certain type of insects, they start coming in. So we've got a beautiful mockingbird that's been in the garden here the last few days, and it just has a beautiful song, just sits there and just sings away. And,
they're not fun when they're outside your bedroom window, though, at 3 in the morning.
No.
I'll send mine over to your garden.
Yeah, usually our nice songbirds sing during the day.
Yeah. Well, in the little bit of time we have left, you have, of course, your best sellers there at the Native Plant Sale. And I'm thinking penstemons are some of the biggest sellers, and there's a whole variety of them. And tell us about all the different kinds you're going to have.
Yeah, we're going to have a wide selection of penstemons. And there's some early bloomers, and so there's some that a lot of times can be bloomed out by the time we get to the sale. And penstemons are a little tricky to grow. You got to have good soil drainage. They don't grow in areas where you have poor drainage. You can rot them out real easy. But they're beautiful, and the hummingbirds just love penstemons. And you'll see some of the butterflies working them also. Some of the bees will try and get into some of those those flowers. There's some little blue ones like Amphorelli and Fendrali and some of those that are a little bit different color. A lot of them are pinks and reds that, you know, of course, the hummingbirds love. But they do attract a lot of insects and wildlife. Birds come in to feed on them. So they're, the culture and maintenance of them is after they, you know, go through their bloom cycle, then if the blooms have been pollinated, they'll set seed, and you'll have a whole stock full of seed, and you go ahead and let those mature and then cut the stalk off after it's pretty much quit blooming. And then the seed, you can break the little capsules open and just sprinkle the seed around, have more, give it to neighbors, or, you know, things like that. But hot pink, magenta colors that really make a garden pop. So,
yeah, my parkway in front of my house is full of penstemons that have reseeded themselves from last year. And it's just this big fluff of pink as you're driving down the street.
Right.
Definitely an investment when you buy one penstemon plant.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Set for life.
There's one that, of course, is real popular, and we'll have some, is the chocolate flower, chocolate daisy. People just, you know, some people don't realize what it is. I had some people going through the garden the other day, and I tell them to bend down and take a sniff and tell me what it smells like, and they go, oh, wow, chocolate.
It smells like an Easter basket.
But that's a wonderful plant that a lot of people like. Right now we have fleabane daisies and calliophis that is blooming. The desert marigolds are in bloom, so it's really quite colorful right now.
So we invite people to check out the Chihuahuan Desert Garden. Maybe if you go this weekend, head on up, and you should be able to park there in their parking lot. And it's free. There's no cost to wander around and enjoy the plants. And think about what you may be wanting to pick out at the Native Plant Sale next weekend, April 27th and 28th, from 9 to 4 each day. And the day before, on Friday, April 26th, there's going to be the Flora Fest Lecture featuring guest speaker George O'Miller, landscaping with native Chihuahuan desert plants. And if you'd like information, you can call the Centennial Museum at 747-5565, 747-5565, or visit museum.utep.edu. John White, garden curator at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens. It's been great having you back.
Thank you, Norma. Thanks. You, Denise.
Thanks. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.